No, I mean, it's the preseason, so no matter what happens, there's no panic, because it's just, it's hard to describe to somebody who hasn't gone through it, but the difference between a regular season game and the approach and the game planning that goes into it versus basically a practice, which is what a preseason game is.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to the Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Joe Thomas talking about the preseason. And again, the Browns, when their first team has left the field in both preseason games, have either been ahead, as they were in week one, or tied, as they were in this one. I am concerned about the lack of playmakers on offense, but we want to see Dwayne Bowe back. We want to see Duke Johnson back. I think those two guys, you're counting on to play significant roles for this team, and you need to see them get back. Let me ask you guys, just throw one thing out real quickly here. Word out of Arizona is that Arizona wants to trade Michael Floyd.
Done. What do they want?
They need defensive line help. They just lost
Great.
Their nose tackle.
Take their pick. Let's go.
Would you do Kitch in a seventh round pick?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Phil Taylor in a seventh round pick?
Yes.
Yeah. You dump $5 million.
Yes. I don't know if they take that. But I think that if you want to find a young playmaker. Now, Michael Floyd had what we would call a disappointing season last year. And right now, he's coming off of a wrist injury. He'll probably be ready for week one. But that brings you a skill set, a size, a speed skill set that's not here right now.
Is he a head case or something?
I don't know.
He must be if they want to get rid of him.
Like Fitz, and they like some of their young guys. They like Jerron Brown, and they like John Brown, the sheriff, who's a very young, small guy who had a very good rookie season out of Pittsburgh State.
You got to think if Arians is an offensive
You don't get guy. Rid of good players, so that's the red flag there. But to me,
I think my chances with him.
I would take my chances with him as well. 216-578-0850. That's how you call us up here. All right, we've got right now Downtown Tony. What's up, Downtown Tony?
Well, it's worse than I expected. I think the Browns are the worst team in football, gentlemen.
Okay,
they look awful.
Okay.
Here's what I'd like to do, though. I'd like to make a few modifications to the uniform, if possible. Instead of helmets, we should wear bright orange wigs with big red noses, size 33 sneakers, and we could change our name to the Clowns and play the Benny Hill theme music.
Can I ask you why you're called Downtown Tony? You got one word right in that call, and he's describing himself, clown.
Mike in Delaware. Maybe it'll be better. What's up, Mike?
What's going on?
Not too much, man.
I just want to let you guys know, I stream you guys on my drive home, my miserable drive home from work daily, and thanks for the great coverage.
Awesome, man. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you.
So two quick questions for you guys.
Sure.
First, I'm hearing McCown's MRI is showing what I'm going to throw some air quotes here, substantial damage. And I just want to know, wanted to ask what the word is in-house.
We don't have any word on that. I will say this, Mary Kay Cabot just tweeted out that she says the word she's getting is that McCown's right index finger will be fine, same as he originally thought. So I have not heard that it's bad. Yeah.
And Mike Pettine has his press conference with the media, I believe at 3:30.
3:30, yeah, okay. Something like that.
All right, second question is, if McCown were to go down, let's say early in the season, and wasn't able to go, it's reassuring to see the improvement in Manziel, but let's be honest, you know, I think it was Matt who had mentioned earlier, he's still not terribly close to being a starter. So what would we do if that were the case?
Rex Grossman? No, I'm just kidding. I think you
got
to give Johnny the run, you know.
I don't think he's that far from being a starter. It's a matter of confidence, and he's showing signs. But you have to see it with ones
against ones. Okay, but it's Tyrod Taylor, Matt Castle, EJ Manuel in Buffalo. One of those guys is going to start, and none of them could start for another football team in all of football.
I was actually impressed with Tyrod Taylor yesterday.
That
one throw to the sideline was a big-time throw.
It was a big-time throw. But my whole point is, Johnny Manziel being a professional quarterback, yes, he's there. But a starting quarterback for a winning football team?
No, not yet, but if he is forced to be the quarterback, then he's a starting quarterback
right.
in the NFL. And I would feel right now significantly more confident about him than I felt
100%
going into Carolina.
I agree with that too.
I'd feel more comfortable about him than several teams starting quarterbacks. I feel more comfortable with him than I would what Buffalo has, what the Jets have. There's several teams that I'd rather McCown come back and play 2013 football. But I don't think that it's, you know, as the sky is falling, as many would think.
Yes. 216-578-0850. We are going to go back to the phones, and we are going to get to Frank in Parma. Frank, welcome to the show.
Yeah, afternoon, guys. I would ask that you do me a favor. Keep the Johnny Manziel hype overly down just a little bit. You know, that's the first time I've ever heard Manziel's arm described as a rocket arm. I hear average and below average. And if you want to put his performance in proper perspective, compare it against E.J. Manuel, the other backup quarterback playing against Hughes. Quite frankly, E.J. Manuel outplayed him by a factor of two or three. So you wouldn't want E.J. Manuel as your starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, would you?
I actually liked what I saw from E.J. Manuel yesterday. I thought E.J. Manuel played pretty well,
but
that was against the bottom. If he's on the streets, maybe E.J. Manuel finds his way here. What have we said? We're not going overboard with the hype.
Hold on, I'm a football player. Explain to me what hyperbole is really fast.
Exaggeration.
Yes. Okay, thanks. Thanks, guys.
Johnny Manziel does not have a plus arm. Johnny Manziel is a good arm when his fundamentals are sound. As you talked about, when he tries to throw off his back foot, or as he did in one of the plays in the scrimmage in Buffalo, it's not that good. He did that against Cincinnati last year. He's got and that's why I was so happy to see him climb the pocket, because that allows him to step into his throw, and then he's definitely got a good enough arm to play in the National
Football League.
A rocket arm. But yes, he is developing. He is progressing. This is not a competition. McCown clearly has been better and clearly looks more like an NFL quarterback, despite the fact that he made what I would call a very bad mental decision. And what he said in his post-game conference, I thought showed maturity, and you should have that at his age in the NFL. But listen, if it's not there on third down, don't force it. We have a weapon in Andy Lee who can change field position, and with this defense, get the ball back in a better spot.
And what I love about, you know, those comments, along with exactly what you just said, it coincides with why we play these preseason games. Let us figure it out. Let us make these mistakes, you know what I mean, and fix them. And that's why Coach Pettine talked about it in Rochester. He talked about it last night. A lot of good, a lot of bad, but great teaching tape. And there's lessons that, you know, that Josh McCown, as long as he's playing the National Football League, continually has to learn, and he will have to learn that in reference to this football team. You know, that's why sometimes comparing him to what he did at other places is not apples to apples. It's totally different, because you talk about the lack of a run game, you know, the lack of an offensive line in Tampa Bay, and the weapons he had in Chicago. So what we're going to get, we don't know. All we can base it off is what we see.
That's right.
And I will say, if the offensive line, which we all assume will be a strength once the regular season starts, but if it was a weakness, then I might change my tune about him in there. I think he's a much, much better quarterback with a good line, as everybody is, but particularly him. If the line's going to be a sieve, then I would say then you may as well throw Johnny out there.
Which is a tough – it's a tough give and take, right? Because then you want your young quarterback to come out of there and get shell-shocked, which it's not going to happen.
Carr.
This line is going to be good. It's got to be good.
It has to be. I mean, it's going to be. These guys have been good for years. They're going to continue to be good. And don't forget, Alex Mack is coming back from a broken leg. Give him a couple games to work himself back into the mix. And let's give him a couple games to settle in and play a full game. I think offensive line, you know, sometimes the offensive line will wear you down in the first half, and then you'll start seeing the chunk plays in the second half.
Especially with the ground game, we haven't got an opportunity to see that. Let's go to Mike on his cell phone. Mike, welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys?
Not too much, man. How are you?
Doing good. You know, as far as the offense is concerned, I don't think you can really gauge or get a good perception last night. We're not going to see a front seven that good again the rest of the year. They might have the best defense in the entire league. And
I
for
agree.
The most part, they were pretty much healthy in the front seven. So,
Kyle Williams was the only one. Yep.
Yeah, but Jerry Hughes, Mario Williams, Marcel Darius, if you really want to go back last night and look at the matchup on each and every play,
that dude's going to get paid.
Back and Marcel Darius, I mean, they were going back and forth. Those guys are big time. Jerry Hughes is a big time player. So, as far as the defensive side of the ball is concerned, the only thing that really concerns me a lot is the lack of pass rush. I think they're going to have a hard time getting to the quarterback. I think Armani Bryant, you know, even though he was going against the second team, he's going to have to they're going to have to find a way to get him on the field. And I like what I saw to Nate Orchard. You know, he was holding the edge pretty well. He came inside. And, I liked it. So, that's what I think.
I agree. Both Armani Bryant started to look good again. I think that Nate Orchard really took a big step, and you want to see that in the second preseason game. I believe you talked about that last week, that in the second preseason game you got to take that big leap forward, and I thought Nate Orchard certainly did do that. This team's ability to generate an organic pass rush, I think that's the one thing that may hinder it from jumping up, as we think this could be a top three defense. I think with Danny here, they're going to stop the run. I think that with the defensive backfield you have, you're going to be good on the back end. The one thing that elite defenses have is the ability to have an organic pass rush, yeah, which means you don't have to blitz to have a pass rush.
Right, and the key factor there is, but a lot of those same schemes are the 4-3 defenses. You know, the guys that rush the passer or play the run out of that 4-3 setting all the time. You know, you talked about the Chicago Bears with, you know, in cover two, has been a great defense. What Seattle does and why their corners are so great, they're able to rush for a lot and have their DBs and linebackers play coverage. But for us, we're going from that 3-4 scheme into nickel and dime situations. And I know we're in our second year of this defense, but the one thing that I continue, and I'm not saying that I'm there yet, is, but we do so much defensively in regards to personnel groupings and different alignments that sometimes, I think as of right now, I'll maintain my statement is, we're good at a lot of things, but great at none from a front standpoint.
I think that's fair.
Because, and again, for the Browns fans out there, you know, who want to get, you know, I don't want to say analytical, but into the X's and O's, just watch our defensive front. You know, guys are lining up everywhere across the line, which can be very confusing, you know, for an offense, which is why you do that. But just like a running back who wants to get all the carries, if I'm on the field and I'm off the field and if I'm motioning out, you never get a tone for what that defense is doing or get into that rhythm. Pass rushers are a lot like running backs, a lot like a quarterback. You need to get into your rhythm. You need to put your hand on the ground on the right side and rush the passer and rush the passer and rush it. And eventually you're going to win. But when you're standing over here, you're lining up on the tackle on the inside, in the inside eye, then you're back on the outside, then you're flipped to the other side. You're everywhere.
And sometimes you're setting up a move,
right,
the whole game.
Correct.
And you know, that I also think is a big, what you're saying is getting a rhythm. I think it'll crystallize who's going to start getting more of the reps.
Absolutely.
Yes, this week.
Because right now we have on our D-line, you got 7, 8, 9 guys that are getting rotation. So is Nate Orchard going to get real reps, or is Nate Orchard going to be a backup? Is Armani Bryant going to get real reps, or is he going to be a backup? Guys like that, you know, I mean, you know Shelton, I think we all, it's obvious that he's going to be in there. But who else is going to be in there on a consistent basis will be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Yes, it will. All right, when we come back, we're going to take more calls. 216-578-0850. Zagura Wilhelm Kidd with your reaction to the Browns and the Bills from last night at First Energy Stadium.